Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you, and happy New Year to you. I hope that your week is going well. I hope that 2022 is treating you well so far. I hope you and your friends and your family are all staying healthy. We are happy to have you here with us today. You know, I hope you had a safe and happy New Year, and that maybe you even have some recollection of that night when we flipped the calendar to 2022. Have you been watching the college football bowl games, by the way? We have had a few really, really good ones. First off, congratulations to Purdue University for winning the Music City Bowl. And also, Tennessee, yeah, you got screwed. But I mean, why would we expect anything else from the ACC referees that we do get on some of these bowl games? The Fiesta Bowl on New Year's Day was highly entertaining as Oklahoma State came back from being down 28-7 to beat Notre Dame 37-35. And Utah and Ohio State put on what I have at least seen so far to be the best bowl game of them all in the Rose Bowl. Ohio State comes from down big to get a comeback victory. What a show they put on in the Rose Bowl. But then we had the games that were actually important on New Year's Eve. And those games, well, the college football playoff games, I guess they were kind of what we thought they would be, right? Because every year we hope for close games. We look at the games and we say, well, that has the potential to maybe be close. And then we get blowouts. First up in the Cotton Bowl, I was really hoping that the Cincinnati defense would show better than they did. The secondary is really good. And they were solid most of the night. But the Alabama Crimson Tide just gashed Cincinnati in the running game all day. Tide running back Brian Robinson racked up 204 yards on the ground. And Cincinnati quarterback Desmond Ridder, well, he just couldn't do much of anything. He was sacked 6 times. He was off balance all day. Bama outgained Cincinnati 482-218. Alabama cruised to a 27-6 win. Now, I know what you're thinking. Is this a big strike against those non-Power 5 teams? Well, I mean, it didn't help. Cincinnati looked outclassed all night. But I'm going to say this. I don't think it was a death sentence. And I'll tell you why. Because when the Cotton Bowl ended, we then got the Orange Bowl. And as outclassed as Cincinnati looked, Michigan looked worse in the Orange Bowl game against Georgia. The number 2 Wolverines got smacked in the mouth to start the game, and they never really punched back at all. Georgia jumped up 17-0 before Michigan even scored. And Georgia would finish with a 34-11 win. So if you want to say, hey, Cincinnati couldn't compete, teams from outside the Big Five shouldn't have a chance to get into the college football playoff, okay, but neither should the Big Ten, and sometimes the Big 12, sometimes the Pac-12, and sometimes Notre Dame. They shouldn't get in either, I guess. And once again, Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, he just doesn't have a very good record against top teams, and that trend continued this past Friday night. So now, next Monday night, we get the rematch. Number 3 Georgia versus number 1 Alabama, an all-SEC national championship game. Who is going to come out on top in this one? Well, there are actually a couple things I want you to keep in mind for this game coming on Monday night. 3 things I want you to look for. 1, I believe that more than in any other sport, football is highly about emotion and motivation. You've got to keep those things controlled. But are you motivated to play? Because you've got to play your guts out every single play. Well, in the SEC championship game, let me ask you a question. What was the motivation for each team? Georgia was trying to stay undefeated, right? Alabama was playing for their lives. And it showed. They came out and they won. Number 2, which version of Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett are we going to get in the championship game on Monday night? Hey, Stetson Bennett played the best half of his life on Friday night against Michigan. Georgia put Michigan away in the first half. It was over. We knew at halftime. But I want you to remember this. In each of his 2 starts that he has had in his career against Alabama, Georgia has been beaten 41-24 both times. And Stetson Bennett has thrown 5 interceptions in those 2 games. Hey, Stetson Bennett can't have another bad game. If he does, I don't think Georgia has much of a chance. And 3, can the Alabama Crimson Tide torch that Georgia pass defense again? In the SEC title game, Georgia allowed Bama quarterback Bryce Young to throw for 421 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now, this will sound crazy when you think of that Georgia defensive front because they are pretty good. They didn't sack Bryce Young all day in that game. Can the Alabama offensive line be that good again? Can Bryce Young be that sharp again? Could Georgia maybe find a way to disrupt Bryce Young, maybe get some pressure on him, maybe force a turnover or two? And if so, can they also limit that Alabama running game? Because when they get going, then everything's just downhill for Alabama. I think the Alabama Crimson Tide are going to be very, very tough to beat on Monday night. We know head coach Nick Saban is a master at winning these games. I really don't like going against Alabama in this game. But I do also think it is going to be tough to beat that Georgia defense twice. I'm going to make a prediction. I don't do it very often. I'm going to take Georgia in a shootout. Let's make it 41-38. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your prediction for that college football national championship game. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports. Hey, maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you are wondering how the NFL season is shaping up. Feel free to reach out to us. We do hear from listeners quite often, and I'll always be sure to get you an answer. And we just might end up using what you send in on the show. Also, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com and checking out some of the new articles that are going up there every week. I am releasing a Daily Doses on Tuesday. Lately, it's been a lot of Denver Bronco talk, but it could be about anything. And then Young Jimmy is posting a new article on Thursdays. If you missed his article last week, he talked a little bit about Pac-12 football, some of the things going on over there. So be sure you are stopping by DailyDoseSports.com at least once a week. But I mean, you might as well stop by there 2 or 3 times because you can get a link to the podcast. You can obviously read the articles. You can get a link to the YouTube videos. You can find information over there. You can also find links to the Daily Dose gear that we have right there. But if you want to go directly to the source, we know we're all still doing online shopping. Be sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. We've got a few designs for you to choose from over there. If you need a new hoodie, you need a new sweatshirt, you need a new t-shirt, maybe you need one last holiday gift for a person you forgot, be sure you're stopping by tpublic.com and get exactly what you need. Just search Daily Dose. You can find some of the gear that we have over there, and they will get it to you as quickly as possible. Hey, today on the show, it is a brand new year. Yes, 2021 is over. We are now on to 2022. But before we flush 2021 down the proverbial toilet, we are going to be taking a brief look back at what has happened over the past year in sports. And we are also going to take a look at what we might expect from sports in 2022. Plus, we are going to have an unprecedented 2022 flavored Daily Dose Top 5 for you today that you will definitely not want to miss. But before we get to those things, we do have a few news stories coming out this week. And let's start off the new year right with a heavy dose of crazy, because let's discuss that big old cup of cuckoo named Antonio Brown. On Sunday, the defending Super Bowl champion, 11-4 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, were facing the lowly 4-11 New York Jets, and they were struggling. They were down 17-10 at halftime. The Bucs were trying to figure things out, and wide receiver Antonio Brown had already been targeted by quarterback Tom Brady 5 different times. He had 3 catches for 26 yards. No sign of any issues at all. But then, in the 3rd quarter, Bucs head coach Bruce Arians told AB to go into the game. Brown said no, he had an ankle injury. Arians told him again. AB said no again. And then Arians told him, okay, then you're done for the day, which seemed to be what he wanted to begin with. Well, then the circus came to town, kids, because Antonio Brown instead decided he would throw some sort of weird tantrum. He took off his pads. He took off his helmet. He took off his shirt, his gloves. He threw them into the stands. He waved goodbye to the New York crowd, who were all sitting there going, what in the world are we watching right now? And he ran out of the stadium. Again, in the third quarter. Now remember that Tom Brady personally kind of brought in AB and kind of vouched for him. Brown signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back on October 27th in 2020. In his first year in Tampa, AB recorded 483 yards on 45 catches in just 8 games. The Bucs, of course, won the Super Bowl last year. This season, Antonio Brown had 42 catches and 545 yards playing just 6 games. So, after he left, he walked out on the side of the stadium, I guess, and he had to get an Uber to the airport to try to go home. Hey, this guy clearly needs help. And while I know people are going to be saying, hey, what team is going to sign him for the playoffs? Who's going to go get him? Who's going to pick up a really talented guy? Honestly, why would you? He is clearly in need of some professional help. And more than just a touch unstable. I mean, think about this. Antonio Brown needed just 8 more catches on the year to get a $333,000 bonus. He also needed just 55 receiving yards to get another $333,000 bonus. He needed just 1 more receiving touchdown to pick up another $333,000. But he got mad about something, and he left. Hey, if you can't get along in Tampa, with Tom Brady watching your back, and Bruce Arians, who by all accounts is pretty much a player's kind of coach, you can't get along anywhere. And don't forget, he has kind of left Tampa in a bad spot because they really do kind of need him. Remember, wide receiver Chris Godwin, he's already down with an injury. He's done for the year. Tampa is missing some people on defense. This move by Antonio Brown hurts the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It leaves them in a really bad spot. But I'll tell you this. If your favorite team goes out and does sign him for the playoffs, just know, it's coming. He's going to do the exact same thing to them. And you know what? If they go out and they sign him, they will deserve it when it happens. Because you know the risk going in. You know, you might have missed this next story because it wasn't quite as popular as Antonio Brown losing his mind. But it also has a little bit of craziness to it. Hey, we all know the Jacksonville Jaguars fired head coach Urban Meyer a while back because his team was terrible. And also he was acting a fool off the field. Everything came together to him getting fired midseason. But over the weekend, one of his former players at Ohio State decided to take some more shots at Urban Meyer and take some shots at college football, take some shots at Ohio State, take some shots at college sports in general. See, defensive back Marcus Williamson played for Ohio State between 2017 and 2020. He was a freshman in Urban Meyer's second to last season with Ohio State. But the defensive back went on a social media rant over the weekend during Ohio State's matchup in the Rose Bowl with Utah, and his posts are painting a picture of a really toxic atmosphere that overshadowed Urban Meyer's program. Hey, we know Urban Meyer might not be the nicest guy. So let's take a look at some of the things that Mr. Williamson was saying. He starts off by saying, I want to rap about my career as a young black college athlete at the highest level. Okay, well, what do you got, Marcus? He then says, now that I'm a fan, I gotta say, you fans know nothing and have some of the worst football IQ ever. Okay, Marcus, I see you working. I actually agree with some of what you're saying. The average fan, they truly don't have much of an idea of what they're talking about. They aren't in the meetings. They aren't at practice. They don't know the game plan. They truly don't understand the game. Fair enough. I'm with you so far, Marcus. What else you got? His next post says, as a 17-year-old early enrollee, Urban Meyer told me he'd ruin my effing life if he ever caught me smoking. It makes you wonder, how much control do these institutions have over our young black boys? Well, no, it doesn't make me wonder that at all. You play a game that demands physical excellence. If you want to smoke, don't play. That certainly doesn't have anything to do with race. Smoking is bad for athletes. I think we can all agree with that, can't we? Is Urban Meyer a jerk? Sure. Does this prove it? No. Is this racial? No. I'm sure he said the same thing to the white kids. But young Marcus goes on. My first team meeting, this photo was presented to us via PowerPoint to institute our building-wide rule of no hoods in the building. And he says that in the PowerPoint presentation, a photo of Trayvon Martin was posted. Whoa. Now we're going crazy. If you don't know, Trayvon Martin, of course, was a 17-year-old student who was fatally shot in Sanford, Florida about a decade ago. Urban Meyer must be like a Klan member, right? Well, it turns out that former teammates, you know, like former starting quarterback Cardale Jones and safety Tyvis Powell, say that was totally made up. They did have the rule, no hoods, no sunglasses indoors, but the Martin picture was not shown. That was completely fabricated. Can you imagine how many kids would have been offended by that? Come on, Marcus, be better than that. Don't post something that just is a blatant lie. Finally, Mr. Williamson said on Twitter, after said meeting, the freshman and myself go to sign the hours of paperwork, essentially signing our rights as Americans, over to Ohio State and the governing bodies. Hey, I've got bad news for this young man. When you accept a job, which is basically what an athletic scholarship is, and I'm not talking even about this guy accepting a job going forward, like in the NFL. I'm saying if he accepts any job, it could be like corporate America. It could be like blue collar America. If you accept a job, you are going to sign your rights as an American or whatever over to that company. They are going to tell you things you can and can't do. And here's the thing. You can either do it or you can remain out of work. You know what? Forget a job. You go buy a house. You are going to sign your rights over to that bank that you buy the house from. Hey, I totally get stomping on Urban Meyer right now, kicking dirt on Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is a jerk. I totally understand it. But you have to have some credibility, bro. You can't just make things up. And you can't complain about things that we all do every day, all day. Welcome to reality, Marcus. You might have a little bit of a tough time. You know, it seems like we're reporting this a few times a year. But once again, this year, the NBA's five-game Christmas slate on ABC and ESPN drew just an average of 4.1 million viewers. That is the lowest since the NBA expanded to five Christmas games clear back in 2008. This year was the worst ratings they've had. The NBA ratings have experienced a steep decline since 2017, and they've been recording record lows in the finals every single year. Currently, NBA games are struggling to draw as many viewers as even low-level college football bowl games. Here's a question for you. Have you ever heard of the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl? I actually had a few people reach out to me at the podcast and ask, is that a real game or is that like a joke? Is that like a Jimmy Kimmel skit? What is that? Is that a real game? And I was like, no, it's totally a real game. Utah State beat Oregon State in that game. Well, that Jimmy Kimmel Bowl actually attracted more viewers than the NBA. I guess, interestingly, the NBA's decline began not long after ESPN and some of the NBA owners and some of the NBA people actually went on record and said they were on track to pass the NFL in popularity. That was back in 2018. Yeah, it turns out that was a tad premature. And to take it a little bit further, the NFL is actually a big reason why the NBA is falling so fast. The NFL has increased their presence on Christmas Day. They did it a few years ago. And as a result, they are crushing the NBA over the past few years. I mean, think about this year. The Green Bay Packers versus Cleveland Browns game on Christmas Day drew nearly 29 million viewers on Fox NFL. Meanwhile, the highest rated NBA game that same day, Warriors versus Suns, drew 5 million viewers on ABC. Warriors Suns tied the Colts Cardinals game on the NFL Network. That's a channel that a lot of people don't even get. Christmas Day, though, is not the only day of the year that the NFL is stealing from the NBA. Earlier this season, the NBA stopped their signature Thursday night TNT games after realizing Thursday night football is crushing them in viewership. So the NBA has now ended up moving their TNT games to Tuesday night to try to get some of those viewers back. You have to wonder, honestly, at this point, is the NBA just going to pull their Christmas Day games and just say, you know what, never mind. We can't compete with the NFL. We'll just try to avoid that. Maybe we'll do a Christmas Eve NBA thing or something, because right now they're getting crushed in the ratings. I mean, maybe they just move the Christmas Day games and try to get out of that direct competition with the NFL because it's not going well. And, you know, honestly, maybe the NBA just shouldn't have tugged on Superman's cape, because that has not gone well since they said those things back around 2018. Remember Mark Cuban saying that. But let me just throw out one word of caution for the National Football League. And don't get me wrong, I know the NFL is king. I know they can do no wrong. But I will say this. With spiking COVID cases and so many players missing significant time for testing positive, despite the fact that the players don't even have symptoms, the NFL had better rethink that process, because if you start losing key players for a playoff game, or even, can you imagine, for the Super Bowl, fans are going to get real angry. And fans are going to stop being as devoted if you start leaving players out because of some silly protocols. The NFL does need to figure that out. Don't get me wrong, they're crushing the NBA, but they do have some things they need to figure out. Staying in the NBA, sort of, we have a landmark, game-changing story to bring to you today. After rumors of possibly being named the first female head coach in NBA history, San Antonio Spurs assistant Becky Hammon is instead finalizing a 5-year deal with the WNBA's Las Vegas Aces that will make her the league's highest paid coach. Hammon plans to finish the season with the San Antonio Spurs, and then she is going to make the move to Vegas. You know, Hammon was a 6-time All-Star during her playing career in the WNBA. Becky Hammon is 44 years old. She has been an assistant under Spurs head coach Greg Popovich since back in 2014. She has interviewed for several head coach openings, but just hasn't gotten an offer to be the first woman to actually be the head coach of an NBA team. Hammon, of course, was a finalist for the Portland Trailblazers job, which instead went to Chauncey Billups back in June. And, you know, I know we were all kind of hoping to see Coach Becky Hammon, a former Colorado State Ram, I might add, possibly get a shot at a head coaching job in the NBA. But, I mean, it's really tough to get that job. It's really hard to get a job. One of just 30 of those jobs on the entire planet. But I do still think this is a positive story for all the young girls out there that have dreamed of making hundreds of dollars.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Coaching in front of tens of people in the WNBA.
Man, that's just mean.
You remember, your dream can come true if you work hard and if you believe. And right now we have an example of that with Becky Hammon. We wish her well in the WNBA. Okay, coming back, the year 2021 is now over. Hey, maybe you're elated. Maybe you're sad. Well, today, we are going to take a look back at some of the most memorable moments in sports from the year that was 2021. And we're also going to be taking a look forward to the year 22 and see what it might have in store for us in sports as well. So 2021 is over. And just like most years, there were some great moments. There were also some really difficult, trying days in the year 2021. But as we look back at the year 2021 in sports, what were the most memorable moments from this past year? And what can we expect this year? Let's take a look right now at the year 2021 and then begin to look forward at the year 2022. You know, last January, the Alabama Crimson Tide blew out the Ohio State Buckeyes 52-24 to win the college football national championship. Now, Alabama had made it to the championship by beating the living daylights out of Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl. Ohio State had beaten Clemson to make their second college football playoff championship game. And the win over Ohio State gave Alabama head coach Nick Saban his 7th national championship. That actually breaks Bear Bryant's previous record of 6 titles. Now, you might remember that the title game was held in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida, and that the game actually only had 20% capacity because of COVID restrictions. And you might remember that so many teams had canceled their seasons, they had played shortened seasons, And a lot of these kids actually had a very, very sad year in 2021. Well, this year, the fans have been back. It has been a wild, unpredictable season in college football with more upsets within the top 25 than in any other season in history. I mean, don't get me wrong. The SEC is still king. And yet, they haven't looked great in every bowl game aside from the real big games. But, you know, 2021 was a year of contradictions. I mean, think about this. Big-name quarterbacks like Spencer Rattler and Sam Howell, they were getting all the talk prior to the college football season. Both of them were benched for poor play at some point. An Alabama quarterback won the Heisman. That never happens. Michigan actually beat Ohio State. That certainly hasn't happened recently. A non-Power 5 conference team in Cincinnati actually broke through and made it to the college football playoff. That has never happened. And yet, if I told you at the beginning of the year that the championship game would be Georgia versus Alabama, we'd all be like, yeah, so? But what an unpredictable season it has been to get to such a predictable season in college football this year. Moving on past college football into the month of February, while everyone was expecting the Kansas City Chiefs or the Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl in the NFL, once again, it was Tom Brady winning it yet again. Brady had left the New England Patriots for the warmer weather of Tampa, and he led the Buccaneers to their second Super Bowl victory. They pounded the 14-2 Kansas City Chiefs 31-9. And you know, in the game, Brady was good. He wasn't great, but he got a ton of help along the way from a really aggressive defense that pressured Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes all day. And the Bucs won the Super Bowl in their home state, if not their home stadium. But of course, it was only in front of about 20,000 people because of COVID restrictions. And one of the biggest controversies after the game was actually at the victory parade, where Brady threw the Lombardi trophy to tight end Rob Gronkowski. Some people tried to talk themselves into being offended about it. Plus, they say the trophy wasn't even vaccinated, so it was a whole thing. Well, looking forward into 2022 now, I mean, both the Buccaneers and the Chiefs are still going to be in the thick of it in 2022. But the NFL, as usual, is wide open because they have so much parity. The NFL has now added an extra week to this season. So right now, we still have one more week before the playoffs are going to begin. The Kansas City Chiefs and Green Bay Packers are once again starting to look like they might be the favorites. But the Los Angeles Rams, the Buffalo Bills, the Tennessee Titans, the Indianapolis Colts, the New England Patriots, the Dallas Cowboys, and those Tampa Bay Buccaneers are all still in the hunt. The crowds have been back at games, and it has actually been a really, really fun and exciting season so far. Unfortunately, like we talked about, COVID is starting to become a problem a little bit again. Now, while the latest strain seems to be far less dangerous, people are still screaming that the sky is falling. And with Super Bowl 56 scheduled to be played in Los Angeles, I don't know, I'm starting to get worried. We could be in for a fiasco. I hope common sense is going to win out for the NFL. We are going to see. You know, it was later in February of 2021 that the most exciting golfer on the planet, Tiger Woods, was involved in a horrific car accident. It was a one car accident, and Tiger was actually the lone passenger in the vehicle, but they say it rolled multiple times in a crash in Palos Verdes, California. Tiger was taken to the UCLA Medical Center by ambulance, and the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department said that the car sustained major damage. They say Woods was driving at over 80 miles an hour, nearly twice the speed limit when he crashed. No charges somehow were filed. But Woods' agent later said that he sustained multiple leg injuries and that he had to undergo surgery for non-life-threatening injuries. It was reported that Tiger Woods sustained compound fractures in both of his legs. There was doubt as to whether Tiger would even be able to walk again. Well, this year, good news. Tiger is walking again. He is even taking it a little bit further than that. He is actually playing golf again. Tiger Woods participated in an exhibition with his son. No, it wasn't real competitive, but they played two rounds, and Tiger looked reasonably good. We'll see what 2022 has in store for Tiger Woods, but honestly, after that crash, him even getting back out there, honestly, it's an amazing comeback story. This is in the Mario Lemieux, George Foreman kind of category as far as comebacks. No matter what Tiger Woods does going forward, this is already an amazing comeback story. But can you imagine if somehow Tiger actually gets out there and plays competitively again? Oh, people are going to lose their minds. Back in the month of March of 2021, we got the return of March Madness. Yes, after a year off and being canceled in 2020, March Madness came back with all of the fun on the floor and none of the fans in the arena. But, you know, we were so used to the Pac-12 just stinking and everything that everyone got all surprised when they actually won a few games in the big dance. USC, Oregon, and UCLA all went to the Sweet 16. The Gonzaga Bulldogs, of course, were the big story. They rolled to an undefeated record, and they even used a nearly half-court shot from guard Jalen Suggs to knock off UCLA in the Final Four. Here is a clip from CBS.
Floater, short, got it back, ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Suggs for the win. Oh, yes! Oh, yes! Unbelievable!
Gonzaga would go to the championship game where they would face the Baylor Bears, a program that was just a few years removed from not even being allowed to play out of conference games. But that Baylor team, no, they were pretty special. They could flat out play defense, and they could shoot the ball from distance. The Baylor Bears knocked down 10 three-pointers in the championship game. They win the 2021 NCAA National Championship, ending Gonzaga's undefeated season. So what's college basketball looking like this year in 2022? Well, of course, a lot of the talk is about the Duke Blue Devils because their head coach of 42 years, Mike Krzyzewski, has announced that he is retiring after this season. And, hey, Duke is loaded again. They're playing defense. They've got some really, really talented young players. Duke is going to be a contender. Can they send out Coach K with his sixth title? Going to be interesting to see. It's not just Duke. Purdue has twin towers in their front court, and head coach Matt Painter is very, very good at coaching up his teams. But I mean, Kansas, UCLA, Iowa State, Arizona, USC, they're all really good. And of course, Gonzaga is back again. Head coach Mark Few is looking to finally hang that banner after coming so close last year. Once again, Gonzaga is going to be a contender. But, you know, it's kind of funny. Baylor won the title last year, and we all kind of went, oh, that was a nice story. What an amazing run they went on. Don't look now, but it might be the Baylor Bears doing it again this year. Because once again, Baylor can shoot it. Once again, they're pretty good defensively. Baylor is going to be a handful come March Madness. That is coming very, very quickly. You know, we got past March Madness. We got into the summer, and it was on July 1st that due to financial issues with Barcelona, La Liga soccer superstar and leading scorer Lionel Messi actually became a free agent. I know it might not have got as much play here in the States, but overseas, this is one of the biggest stories in sports. Messi then announced on August 10th he would be joining the club Paris Saint-Germain. He signed a two-year deal until June of 23 with an option for an extra year. And upon joining the French team, Messi chose the number 30 as his jersey number, the same number he wore as a teenager when he made his senior debut for Barcelona. Reports are saying that Messi's two-year contract with PSG gave him $41 million per year, including a $30 million signing bonus, and that the contract also allows for a $75 million option for a third season. So how's that all going over in the French league? Well, of course, Messi has PSG on top of their league. They are in first place right now. I mean, that's not the biggest news. That's not huge news. They are the most successful team in the French league. They won the title last year. And now you add Messi to the roster. This will probably just be a cakewalk. It'll be really, really easy. And look, I know we don't talk a whole lot of soccer here on the Dose, but Lionel Messi is the biggest star in the game. And I know we don't spend much time on soccer. We kind of look at soccer. We kind of laugh. They fake their injuries. They're a bunch of drama queens. But I mean, honestly, when are you going to stop doing that crap? Do you realize that it has been nearly 30 years since the country of Canada won the Stanley Cup? Well, also in July, the Montreal Canadiens actually made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. Unfortunately, they faced the Tampa Bay Lightning, who took them out in just 5 games. You were close, Canada, but you didn't quite make it. Now, due to COVID and everything, the regular season in the NHL this past season was reduced to just 56 games. They began their season in January, and it was kind of tough because, you know, crossing the border back and forth from Canada, there were a lot of restrictions imposed by the government of Canada. In fact, the league had to temporarily realign for the season. They put all 7 Canada teams into one division. A lot of the games had to be rescheduled, and the season, which started in June, didn't have the playoffs start until May, and then the playoffs actually finished up on July 7th with the Tampa Bay Lightning stomping those Montreal Canadiens. The Lightning win their 2nd consecutive cup and their 3rd overall cup in franchise history. So how is the NHL looking this year? Well, the Lightning are probably still going to be a problem before this is all over. But they have just been so banged up. They are so injured. They are one of the most injured teams in the league right now. The NHL, of course, is still dealing with a ton of COVID issues. They have a ton of problems again in Canada. The season was literally put on pause for a little while, for a few weeks. And it's weird, for a league that says all but 4 players in the entire league have been vaccinated, you would think they would have figured out a way to make this work a little better. I mean, these players aren't having symptoms. Let them play. If they ever do get back to playing, I think those Tampa Bay Lightning are going to be a problem. I think the Florida Panthers will be tough, the Washington Capitals, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Minnesota Wild, and yes, I'm going to go homer, the Colorado Avalanche. They will be out there among the contenders this year if the NHL can get going and figure some things out and start making some sense. But if so, it should be an entertaining NHL season. You know, last year in 2021, the Los Angeles Lakers were the defending NBA champions. They were the heavy favorite going into last year's NBA season. But they were actually taken out in the first round of the playoffs by the Phoenix Suns. Of course, COVID also impacted the NBA for the 2nd straight year. The regular season was reduced to just 72 games for each team. It was held from December 22nd until May 16th, and then the playoffs started on May 22nd. So the Suns knocked out the Lakers. The Milwaukee Bucks took out the Brooklyn Nets. Those were the 2 favorites, the Lakers and the Nets, and they were both gone. And 2 teams that we really didn't expect met in the NBA Finals. On July 20th, it was the Milwaukee Bucks beating the Phoenix Suns and winning their first championship since 1971. We all thought it would be Nets, Lakers. I don't know, maybe the Raptors will get in there. Maybe the Clippers would sneak in. Nope, it ended up being Suns versus Bucks, and the Bucks win it all. So how is the NBA going this year? We've talked about some of the struggles that they've had. You know, I think for the NBA, some of it is just the regular season is so long. I think people are starting to treat the NBA a little bit like Major League Baseball. We tune out for a lot of the regular season. We tune back in a little bit for the playoffs. But other than that, I mean, we don't need to watch it every single day. And, you know, one of the problems also is that it's terrible basketball a lot of times. And the games are largely meaningless. But when they do start playing and the games start mattering, I think what we're going to see is the Golden State Warriors, they look like they might be back to being the best team in the league. We'll see how they look when and if Klay Thompson does come back and start giving them some actual minutes. The Golden State looks really strong. The Phoenix Suns look really strong. The Brooklyn Nets are going to be a contender, and the Utah Jazz are very, very good and a lot better than people might think. And of course, the defending champion, the Milwaukee Bucks, they're going to be there come playoff time. They're probably a little bit bored right now, but you just watch down the stretch. I bet Milwaukee starts to play a little bit better. You know, it was back on July 30th in 2021 that it was announced that the University of Texas and the University of Oklahoma would be leaving the Big 12 conference and joining the mighty Southeastern Conference after the 2024-2025 season. Now, that could get moved up. If they get a unanimous vote, that could actually change. And I know people get so mad at the SEC. People hate the SEC. They get mad at Oklahoma and Texas for doing this. Why would you go to the SEC? Why would you jump? Think about this. If you were at your job and a really good company offered you a bunch of money to come do the same job and make more money and make millions and millions of dollars, wouldn't you do it? Of course you'd do it. You'd be a fool not to do it. Both Texas and Oklahoma bring solid athletic programs, not just football. You got to look program-wide, and they bring solid athletic programs. They bring big money. We'll see if they can hang with the big dogs week in, week out in football. But this is an obvious move for Texas and Oklahoma. I know people might be down on the move, but it really does make a lot of sense for them. From late July into August, we got the delayed Summer Olympics that had actually been postponed from 2020. The Summer Games were held in Japan, and they were, well, weird, mostly. I mean, the Summer Olympics to me are really fun. You get swimming, you get diving, you get track and field, you get basketball, you get gymnastics, but there were no fans in the stands. Athletes were pulling themselves out for mental health issues. The games felt really disjointed. They felt really odd. The United States did win the medal count, followed by China and Japan, but the 2021 Summer Olympics, they just kind of felt strange. Okay, so how's that going to all look in 2022? The Summer Olympics are over, but if you thought they were weird, just get ready for the Winter Olympics coming this year. They are actually scheduled to start on February 4th in, wait for it, Beijing, China. The United States is sending athletes to these games, but they say we are going to be playing under protest for all of the human rights violations that are taking place in China. Hey, let's be real clear. The Winter Olympics, they're always like a little bit weird, right? Like the Winter Olympics always kind of feel like drunken games you play with your buddies when it gets cold and snowy outside. Hey, try to ride that sled down that playground slide that's covered in ice. Or let's do this. Let's see who can ski and then, I don't know, shoot a moose or something. But these Winter Games in China, I don't know, they might be even weirder this year. And here is one of the bigger questions I have. Is escaping an Olympic event? I'm not sure if it is. But if it is, this might be the year for it. Because if you take the gold in escaping, you might have really, really accomplished something. Okay, coming back, we still have a few more sports memories to get to from 2021. But then we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, I've told you before, I don't really do the sports betting thing. I don't even play fantasy football. I have been involved with sports for decades, so I know how completely unpredictable they are. I don't even try to predict how they'll go for the most part. Well, today on The Dose, I am going to be breaking that rule. So let's finish up with some of the biggest stories in sports from the year that was 2021. And you know, it was on November 2nd that the Atlanta Braves won the Major League Baseball World Series, which just happened to take place in the same year that former great Brave Hank Aaron passed away. That's pretty amazing that the Braves actually won the whole thing in that same year. The Braves beat the Houston Astros in 6 games, and not only did the Braves win it in the same year that we lost Hank Aaron, but remember, they also won it the same year that Major League Baseball pulled the All-Star game away from the city of Atlanta in response to a new Georgia law that had civil rights groups concerned about its potential to restrict voting access for people of color. The contested bill included new restrictions on voting by mail and greater legislative control over how elections are run. They also prohibited volunteers from distributing food and water for voters that were waiting in line. So the All-Star game, instead of being in Atlanta, was actually moved to Denver, Colorado, which I might add actually has those same voting laws and even some stricter voting laws. But I mean, Major League Baseball couldn't move it to the state of New York, where Major League Baseball headquarters are, could they? Because they also have stricter laws than those Georgia laws. Hey, go figure. Do we really expect Major League Baseball to make any sense? Of course not. And the next story of 2021 will display just that, because no sooner did Major League Baseball award a World Series winner Then the Major League Baseball owners announced they would be locking out their players. And now Major League Baseball is in the middle of its first work stoppage since that 1994-1995 strike. It's not good, people. Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association were, of course, unable to agree to a new collective bargaining agreement prior to the December 1st deadline. So now we are in the middle of a giant staring contest. Players want some serious concessions from the owners. Owners don't want to give them anything. And you know, over the past 2 to 3 seasons, we have really seen baseball really make a return. They've started to get some fans back. They've started to generate some excitement over the last 2 years. With the COVID stuff, remember, sometimes baseball was the only thing we had going. And there were a lot of fans that went out and said, hey, I'm going to watch baseball. I'm going to get back into baseball. The playoffs were great. The games were fun. They were exciting. But I'm mourning baseball right now. Do not undo all that you have done. You had better figure out a way to make this work. And I don't see this working anytime soon because they are so far apart. The two sides have a giant canyon between them. But I'm telling you right now, Major League Baseball had better figure this out because 2022 will be very, very unkind to baseball if they don't figure this out and figure it out soon before it starts impacting the actual season. Finally, in December, we also saw a little more news in college football when we saw a wild, wild post-regular season, I guess you'd call it. No, I'm not talking about the bowl games. I'm not talking about the Heisman or the awards or any of that. I'm talking about the college football coaches taking big money and packing up and leaving before their bowl games even took place. It wasn't just them. Players all over the country were putting their names in the transfer portal too. You know, Notre Dame's all-time winningest coach, Brian Kelly, he took a huge raise and decided that he could recruit more kids to Louisiana State than to Notre Dame. In fact, it was kind of interesting. When Brian Kelly went to LSU, he had somehow picked up a Southern accent. He's not from the South. I believe he's from the Midwest. But somehow, he had picked up a Southern accent. Check this out.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans.
Not really sure where that came from, but I guess Brian Kelly is going to be Southern now. Meanwhile, Oklahoma's head coach Lincoln Riley figured it would be easier to win in the Pac-12 at USC than it would be at Oklahoma in the SEC. So he decided to make the jump too. He took the money and packed up for California. It wasn't just the coaches though, like I said. On the player side, quarterbacks like Dillon Gabriel, Casey Thompson, Spencer Rattler, Miles Brennan, Emory Jones, Keaton Slovis, Adrian Martinez, Bo Nix. I mean, these are just a few of the quarterbacks that put their names into the transfer portal. Players are transferring right and left at the drop of the hat. They're getting all this name and likeness money. And while I know we are being told that this is all going to lead to kids leading happier and healthier lives, somehow I think there might be a few problems that are brewing. Somehow I feel like there are going to be a few really, really bad things forthcoming. I believe there needs to be some sort of limitations on these things. Or I promise you, college football is going to get hit very hard. And who's going to get hit? It's never the adults. It's the kids. It's always the kids because the adults screw things up for them. And I could totally see that happening again in college football if they don't straighten this out. We will see where that goes. You know, college football is going to be wrapping up next week. The NFL is entering their final week of their regular season. And then we get a bit of an expanded single elimination tournament in those NFL playoffs. The Olympics are coming, like we talked about. Don't forget, this might be kind of weird, but the USFL is back this year. We're going to have spring football. March Madness is coming. Once we get to that spring, I mean, then we get the NBA playoffs. We get the NHL playoffs. The NFL draft will be coming. Hey, 2021 was at times a tough year, an interesting year, a kind of return to normalcy on some levels, and still a whole bunch of craziness on other levels. But I am really hoping that in 2022, we continue to make progress. We continue to evolve. We continue to get better. Sports are fun every year. But I'll be honest, it's been a little tough over the past 2 years. Let's all hope that in 2022, we get back to the fun stuff more and more and less of the weird stuff. And let's be real honest. We hope that you're going to be joining us here at The Dose to discuss all of it. Now, as we do so many weeks here at The Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like I said before, we don't make a ton of predictions here at The Daily Dose. We don't really do the fantasy football stuff. We don't really get involved in sports betting. We know, having been involved in sports, sports are wildly unpredictable. I mean, think about this. In the very first year that I ever coached high school basketball, we lost a game that we were up double digits most of the game on a half-court buzzer beater to knock us out of the playoffs. I'll be honest, I wanted to quit coaching right there and then. But that is how unpredictable sports are. So we don't really get involved in too much prediction stuff. We might make a pick for a big game, like we did today on the national championship. We might make a pick for the Super Bowl or make our pick at the beginning of the year for, you know, who's going to win, but not like specific predictions. We don't really do that here at The Dose. But today, we're going to make a few predictions. It is a new year. And while we could easily make some simple predictions, you know, death, taxes, LeBron whining about something, we aren't going to take the easy road. No, no. We are going to make a few very specific predictions about the world of sports. And right now, you take a listen, and then you can kind of see if we got these right. But today, we are counting down the top 5 Daily Dose predictions in sports for 2022. We start off at number 5. And we know that this year in the NBA, it's still a little bit weird. Do you realize that if the playoffs started right now, the Toronto Raptors would be out and the Chicago Bulls would be one of the top seeds in the East? It's kind of a strange year. The Los Angeles Lakers are struggling to even get to 500. Meanwhile, the Memphis Grizzlies are pretty good. I mean, stars like Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons, they haven't even been playing. Kyrie wasn't playing because he didn't want to get vaccinated. And then he said he would play. And then he immediately got COVID. I know that's surprising, right? And then we have the case of Ben Simmons. The Philadelphia 76ers star says he doesn't want to play for Philadelphia. And do you realize he has already accrued over $10 million in fines for not playing? Well, I'm going to predict that at some point, Philly either motivates him to want to start playing, or they find a partner to make a trade with, and Ben Simmons starts playing again this year. But I'm going to take it one step further. Because think about this. We have not seen a broken backboard since the days of Shaquille O'Neal. But I am going to predict today at number 5 that Ben Simmons won't just be back on the floor. He is going to be the first player since Shaquille O'Neal to break a backboard in a game. Unfortunately, it will be with his shot. We move next to number 4. And we move our gaze over to college football, where it was one of the biggest stories in college football recruiting this year when Jackson State head coach Deion Sanders somehow convinced the number 2 overall recruit in the country, Travis Hunter, to sign at Jackson State instead of with a big-time FCS program. Florida State was trying to get this kid. Somehow Deion got him to sign to Jackson State. And while Jackson State went to the Celebration Bowl after the season, they got blown out by South Carolina State. Make no mistake, this is a big get for Deion Sanders and a big get for small schools and a big get for Jackson State. Well, I'm going to predict today on The Dose that Deion Sanders, he's not done. As big as this story was in sports news, we're going to see other players do it. Because think of how much recognition they're going to get. They just saw it happen. Wait, I'm going to be on ESPN because I chose a smaller school? Oh yeah, I'm doing that next. So I'm telling you, you heard it here first. Jackson State will get more big-time recruits in 2022. And when they do next year, they might also come close to beating South Carolina State in that darn Celebration Bowl. We move on to number 3. And you know, here at the Daily Dose, we are always trying to find interesting guests. I mean, maybe it's a former athlete. Maybe it's a former coach Those people bring us an insider's look at the game. Maybe we get a boxing promoter or even a sports writer. Well, in 2022, I predict that the Daily Dose is going to try to get a big time guest on the show. Yes, coming to you. In 2022, the Daily Dose will agree to land the leader of the free world, President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
We can't rebuild our economy and meet this climate crisis.
Unfortunately, Joe will forget that we booked him. He'll fall asleep in his soup again. But I'll even go one step further than that. To fill in for Joe, we will instead call on Larry from Centennial to fill in for Sleepy Joe. And you know what? No one will even notice. It's kind of the same guy, isn't it? Hey, we book nothing but the best here at the Daily Dose. We move next to our number two prediction for 2022. And we are again looking at college football. Hey, I know this season is almost over. But I mean, as soon as it ends, we're already going to start looking forward to next year. You watch, on Monday night after the national championship game, we will already be being told who is going to be the top, 25 for next year. We love that stuff. We're going to start looking at who are the best teams. Where are players going? Where are coaches going? It's going to be another wide open and exciting season, and we all love and can't wait for college football season. But you know, one of the first marquee matchups we're going to get in college football next year is going to be when Brian Kelly's Louisiana State Tigers open their season with a game against Florida State. Hey, FSU is trying to get their program going. We know Brian Kelly is pretty good. He should be able to get some big-time recruits in Baton Rouge. Well, I'm going to make a prediction on that game right now. Hey, it's only January. I'm going to be making a prediction for what? September? Way in advance. No, I don't know who's going to win. But I predict that Brian Kelly will suddenly start speaking in a Seminole accent the week of the game.
I'm here with my family.
And that prediction comes in today at number two. We reach the number one entry on our Daily Dose Top 5 Sports Predictions for 2022, and we get to a big one. And we get to an important one. A game changer, if you will. Because we know the NFL playoffs are coming, and that COVID protocols are fully in effect, and if we get to the playoffs, and a team gets a bunch of players testing positive, we're going to have problems. Unless the NFL gets some common sense and changes those protocols, a team could be at a big disadvantage. Well, let me ask you this. Who is always looking for an advantage at every single turn, whether ethical or not? That's right, kids. Our number one entry this week, New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, is going to be, let's say, injecting his own brand of fun into the playoffs.
You're on to Cincinnati.
Don't say you didn't know. Don't say the Patriots have an equipment manager with the nickname of like COVID Coffer or something, because I'm calling my shot right now. Bill Belichick is somehow going to manipulate some tests and get himself a big win in the postseason. Hey, next week on the Daily Dose, those NFL playoffs are going to be here. We are going to do our best to get you ready for them. We will be breaking down the NFL postseason as we have never done before. But we're also going to recap that national championship game, so make sure you stop by the Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the text. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing wherever it is you watch or listen. Thank you for checking out the new articles over at DailyDoseSports.com. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the podcast, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to GSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and enjoy that national championship game on Monday night.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my